You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Hello, hello, hello. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you're with me today on Dr. Michelle Live. 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. You can call, you can text, you can ask a question, make a comment. You can also email me anytime, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. So today I'm going to talk about many things, and they're going to be varied because I want to give you just a little heads up on vitamin D3. And the reason I want to do that is because we are in January, and you know, most of the country is going to suffer from a lack of sunshine. And even if you're in a place that does not suffer from a lack of sunshine, your lifestyle can cause you to have a deficiency in vitamin D, and not all vitamin D's are made equal. You also can have a genetic propensity to a low vitamin D, and you can also do things like sunscreens and all kinds of things, even if you're outside, that will cause you not to have this vitamin D that you need in your blood level. So I want to talk a bit about that. That's not all I want to talk about, because I do want to get to things such as this wonderful rosary. Yesterday, just off the cuff, I said, you know, if someone can give me the definition of normal, I kind of made it like an if, I will send you a rosary, because there really is no definition of normal. And I don't like that concept that we need to get you to normal, because we don't know what normal really is. We know pretty much on either huge extremes what normal isn't, if someone is very extreme. But really, when we come down to this thing that we think we have to all feel or think, I really haven't run across anybody who really defines it, except to be very functional, but that's even difficult to define. But when I was talking about that, I said, I'll send a rosary to anyone who can do that. And then I thought, you know, that's not fair. I'll just send a rosary to anyone, because I love this particular rosary I found. So I did get a couple of people call me, and I mean, email me, and I'm going to send out those rosaries. So my email address is dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. And for a short time, it's my treat. It's my treat. But now I'm going to reveal to you and tell you a little bit about the particular rosary that I am just so in love with. I'm going to tell you a little bit about their company. And I will even give you a discount code where you, if you want to go online and look at their other things and you would like a discount, you can have a 10% discount from the company in support of our show by code word Dr. Michelle, all capital letters, no periods. But I'll put a link on my show page for that. And when I tell you more, a little bit more about the company. But I also want to talk a little bit about waiting in times of desperation, anxiety, trouble. I want to talk about that. This is why I love this rosary. I mean, the rosary is an awesome thing as a prayer, yes, as a devotion. But this particular rosary really inspired me, because it gives me that image of a soldier down on their knees waiting, or a soldier who is playing cards or trying to just spend the hours and hours and hours, but always in this heightened level of anxiety, whether it's suppressed or not suppressed, because you don't know when there's going to be a firestorm. You don't know when you're going to be called immediately to fight to save this person sitting next to you, or when something is going to happen, you don't know whether you're coming home or not. And oftentimes I think about some of the soldiers I worked with who talk about that, talk about all those endless hours of doing nothing. And then boom, you're barraged. And pretty soon you're fighting for your life. You're fighting for someone else's life. You're helping someone out of a problem. You're trying to help the people in the town. So many different things that are so frightening. And so when we are faced with that waiting in desperation, saying, okay, all right, I've given it. I've had my issue. I've had my problem. I've had my trauma. I've had the death. I've had the divorce. I've had the bad relationship. I just had the abuse. I just had the eating disorder problem for my child, or knowing that my child's doing drugs, or my child says they're transgender, whatever is shaking your boat. And oftentimes people of faith, people of any faith, go to prayer. They go to prayer, they go to contemplation, they go to meditation, they go to a place where they know they cannot do it alone. And so you think, okay, I've done this, and I'm doing it, and I have faith, and I trust. And then the clock starts ticking very slowly, and everything seems to be getting worse and worse and worse, and not better and better and better. Some people say, turn it over, and it's all going to be well, and let that burden be lifted from you. And yet for a moment, perhaps it can be. But then sometimes you just realize that burden isn't lifted. It's like being in war, or being ready for war, being in reserves, always knowing that that war could blow up. Something unexpected could happen. You're not being called. You're not, when you're fighting something, you're expending energy. At least you feel like you're doing something. But when you're waiting, when you don't know, when you just can't see the road and you're asked to be patient, this is really important stuff. So that's why this particular rosary really just got me, because it reminds me of all that. And I'm going to tell you this story. We're not going to do it right now, though. We're going to do it on the other side of the break. I also want to talk a little bit today about the church, well, the early desert fathers, and a couple of things they had to say. It's sometimes it's a little difficult. These are the sayings of the desert fathers. There's a book of them, and sometimes they're a little difficult to read because they sound a little, I don't know, they just are a little bit rough. But if you continue on and you read through, you realize these things were selected because of their words of wisdom. And I really like this one I'm going to read to you, because it's about discretion. It's about using your own discretion. And this comes into play and connects with things like supplementing with vitamins, or taking your child to a doctor and making some decisions about your own child. It has to do with how you're going to approach your prayer life. If you make the decision to fast, if you make the decision to undertake some kind of devotion, what is the proper way to do that? What's a way that will help you not to go to an extreme? How do you know? It's a little bit about discerning, but it's also about using your God-given ability to have discretion in how you approach something. And the desert fathers, this is like way back there. We're talking way back there, somewhere around, I don't know, but the collection was somewhere around 500 when they started collecting these things. And so the sayings and the writings were passed down much earlier than that. So these are the desert fathers. And back then, it's same old questions that we have now. Same old questions. So I want to give you a little bit of their wisdom, because sometimes I like to go to sources. And we do go to the source. We go to the Bible. We go to the people who knew a heck of a lot more than us. We go to this, what Jesus actually said. We go to saints, because we believe that they learned things. They don't just say things out of nowhere. They've got a context. They've got a history. There's a really important way that has been passed down that in Christianity, but Catholicism certainly, and in the Hebrew world as well, in the way that the Bible should be interpreted. It should be interpreted in its fullness, in the etymologies of the words, what each word might mean, because translations are going to change things. Also in the history of the times, the history of what was written, when it was written, what was going on there at the time. A little example of this, not necessarily with the Bible, but when I read Juan de la Cruz, Alchemy of the Soul, or Alchemist of the Soul. It was a history. It was actually St. John of the Cross, written by someone who understood the deeper meaning behind the words, fluent in Spanish, and also a historian and a religious historian. It was so eye-opening to find out what the terrain was like, what the politics were like, what the fashion was like, what was the colloquial wisdom like at the time where he lived, what stature might he have had. Just it enriched his words, and it gave context and meaning. So when we come back, we're going to look at a little bit of that with the Desert Fathers. I want to talk about this vitamin D because we're right in the middle of the dark days where seasonal affective disorder rears its head, but also vitamin D is responsible for things that you might not be aware of. So we're going to talk about that too on the other side of the break. This is Dr. Michelle. You may email me dmlive@breadboxmedia.com or call 573-4-BREAD-4.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You are listening today to Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. You can email me, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. My offer is still standing, so email me, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com, or you can call during this program, 573-4-BREAD-4, and just say, I would like a rosary, and it is my treat. I will send you a rosary from, and now we will talk about them. You know what? No, I'm going to talk about them later, because I want to talk to you about vitamin D3 first. But these rosaries are extremely unique. They're made from paracord, they're made from that. And their beads are, I'm going to show you a picture. It's just, they're amazing. And the story behind them is so beautiful that you're going to want one. I just know it. So we're going to get that to that a little bit later in the show. And I am not positive where I first found out about them, but I think I may have first found out about them somehow. I'm not sure whether it was a program or whether it was just a picture that was posted on her site, but I think it was from Allison Gingras, who is part of one of our contributors. So, but it might've been even last year. And when I saw a picture, and it may not have been, I really don't remember, but when I saw the picture, I just researched it, looked it up, got one, loved it, keep it in my car, hang it from my rearview mirror, and wear it around my neck sometimes. I just love them. So you're going to hear more about that. All right. So let's talk a little bit about vitamin D so that we do not forget that. Vitamin D. Now, there in supplements, you want to go for the vitamin D3. That's going to be the absorbable, the one that is going to, that's going to be what you want, vitamin D3. I think pretty much these days, that's what you're going to find, because when it became kind of like the thing, vitamin D, the lack of vitamin D and the problems that come up with it a few years ago, and everyone was taking huge amounts, there was a little question, because just vitamin D was stuck in, and there are different kinds of vitamin D. So vitamin D3 is what you want. So let's take a quick look at what, well, we're going to look at Mayo Clinic. We're going to look at the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. We're going to also look in just general, what are some of the deficiencies, signs of deficiency of vitamin D in general. All right. So here are seven signs that are written about by Dr. Mercola, which he's a physician, a doctor of osteopathy. He's had some people like him, some people don't, but he's had a nutritional type based natural website for decades, actually. So we need to first take a real quick back in history, a little look in history, is that early in this country, we had an epidemic of a thing called rickets. And rickets is a place, a situation where your bones are, children's bones don't grow strong. They're kind of soft. So as they begin to grow, their legs bowed out. And that was one of the hallmarks of rickets. Their legs bowed out. Now, why did they have that? They noticed that a lot with people in the Midwest where the sun was not strong. Now, we don't see that now. And why? Because when they found that out, they started putting vitamin D in butter and vitamin D in milk. So they started putting the vitamin D into some of the things that we ate all the time. Well, we don't always eat all those things now, and we have other factors we didn't have decades ago, such as sunscreens and staying inside for work. People worked outside quite a bit. We didn't have all the mass transit, and we had windows that actually opened to real sunlight rather than having all the artificial light in the office buildings with non-openable windows. That's all fairly new, fairly recent. So there was a period of time where, yes, there was vitamin D deficiency in the United States, mainly in the Midwest. And when it was addressed, it kind of went away. People stopped thinking about it. So if you look at people now, maybe it's people that are in their 70s, many of them were children who had rickets. So it's something that happens. It's reminding me to give you just one little other tidbit, and we'll talk about maybe iodine another time. Iodine is extremely important in your diet, iodine. Now, that's another reason. We had in the Midwest, poor Midwesterners, it was called the goiter belt. That's where they had these big goiters, because you need iodine for your thyroid to function properly. And the goiter is a big thing, a big lump or thickness. Sometimes it just looks like a fat neck, or it can be an actual lump looking thing in the neck. And sometimes it just looks like a kind of a thick neck. But it's called goiter, because your thyroid is not functioning right because you're not getting enough iodine. What they found was that on the coast, the plants from farmland near the coast had plenty of iodine in the soil. And of course, if you eat fish that had iodine, not farm fish, but ocean fish had iodine, and the Midwesterners didn't get that. So what did they do? They iodized something you had on everybody's table, which now we're getting rid of, salt. So we had iodized salt. Now we try not to use salt. We have salted food that's already injected in the food, in our chicken and our this and our that, and it is not iodized, also some of the more gourmet type sea salts, some of them, or Himalayan rock salts or those kinds of things. Some of the more that you might find in a health food store are not iodized, which means they don't have, usually, even if they're from the sea, they may not have the complement of iodine that is healthy and that we need. So there's all these little things that we do, and we're so used to something, we forget that we may be causing a problem by changing it up a bit. So here are seven signs, Dr. Mercola. There are others too, but I'm going to read his. So one of them, he said, if you have darker skin, so if you are African American or you're Hispanic or you're Indian or you're Native American and you have darker skin, you are at a greater risk of vitamin D deficiency, because if you have dark skin, Dr. Mercola says, you may need as much as 10 times more sun exposure to produce the same amount of vitamin D as a person with pale skin. Because now, let me back up in case you didn't know, the way we actually get vitamin D as humans is through the skin. It's like how, it's not photosynthesis, but it's like how a plant gets green with sun. It happens in the skin by the sunlight. Isn't that awesome? It's like, I think that's so cool. But it happens just by sun exposing, hitting the skin, then the skin gets reactive and produces this essential vitamin, vitamin D. So evidently, when your skin pigment, it acts as a natural sunscreen. So the darker, which we know, the darker the skin the person is naturally, the less chance they're going to have of skin cancer. It's a very, very fair Scandinavian and Irish that get the most skin cancer or most prone to skin cancer because they have less of a sunscreen. But that sunscreen, although it helps people not have skin cancer, it helps them also not be able to absorb vitamin D. I'm not using my words that well today. Dr. Michelle needs to find her words, but I think you're getting my point. Okay, number two, you feel blue. All right, so a lot of depression, get this, we're taking so many antidepressants in this nation, little kids, old people, all everybody in between. And some, not all. Serotonin is a very important brain hormone that affects everything. It affects sleep, it affects sex, it affects mood, it affects everything, lots of things. And they found out that vitamin D affects the levels of serotonin. They also found out in a study in 2006 that the mental health of 80 elderly, it's not a huge sample, but 80 elderly patients, that those with the lowest level of vitamin D were 11 times more prone to depression than those who received healthy doses of vitamin D. And also, if you're older, the older you get, the less able your skin is to make vitamin D. So you need to know, we're going to go into that on the other side of the break. But what I want to get across to you too is that is one reason, some of these studies, is why your elderly parents or grandparents, when they go to the doctor to get a full battery of tests, if you are an older adult, you should have on that test a level of vitamin D. They will check blood level. They should check your blood levels. If they don't, you can ask them to check the blood levels of vitamin D, because that will give you an indication of where you're at. So when we come back, we're going to go into the other five signs that you may be deficient in vitamin D. We're also going to talk about this lovely rosary company. And we're also going to get some words of wisdom from the Book of the Elders, the Desert Fathers. When we return, I am Dr. Michelle.
You are listening to BreadBox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you're listening to Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4BREAD-4. You can text or call. You can also email dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. So we're talking about vitamin D, and we are going to finish up with it a bit, because there are some surprising problems that are associated with a lack of vitamin D. So I want you all to be aware of that too. Now, when we talk about any kind of problem in the same family, you can have someone who exhibits the problems. You all live in the same place, the same house, the same part of the country, and another person who doesn't. There's many other factors that go into it as well. So we are going to talk about just a general thing now. Again, we're not going to diagnose or treat, but I think this is really important because mood is huge, and it's a huge factor, and people are on so many antidepressants, and seasonal affective disorder is a very real thing. I have had it myself, actually, in when I lived in the Midwest, and it's a very real thing. And as I said, you could live in Arizona, you could live in Florida, you could live in the sunniest places in the country or the world and still have it, because you may be the person who gets up just as the dawn's peeking up, get in your car, drive to your work for an hour, get into an office building, have no actual ambient sunlight, no, everything's through a window which filters things out, filters UV out, and you need that UV. We try to filter it out with our sunscreens because it causes cancer. So, you know, we've got to really be careful of this now. So when you or someone elderly goes to the doctor, they will test your 25-hydroxy D. That's your vitamin. That's the vitamin D you want to look at, or that's the form of the vitamin D you want to look at, 25-hydroxy D, when you do the blood test. So anybody can do it. It's not, you don't have to be any kind of specialist. Any physician can do that. It should be part of a good general physical examination. So even if you are always out in the sun and you're a runner and you are a cyclist and you're this and you're that, if you wear too much sunscreen, or you wear sunscreen, sun protection, which you need to do, I'm not saying don't do it, because you have to, you know, you don't want skin cancer, you're prone to vitamin D. It's prevalent in adults who are very, all ages, who are out there in the sun because they're using sunscreen. 50% of the general population is at risk. 50% of our entire country and probably the world is at risk. The elderly are at way higher risks for two very big reasons. The first is they're not outside a lot. The second is your skin loses its ability to make vitamin D as you get older. And number three, if you're dark skinned and you're elderly, well, then you've got another little factor that's going to make it worse. But if you're dark skinned, no matter what, you're less prone to skin cancer, but you're more prone to vitamin D deficiency. And that includes if you are obese, achy bones, feeling sad or blue, depressed, GI troubles, gut troubles, stomach problems. This is really important stuff. A lot of chronic diseases now, they're saying, have some relation. Now, what we're going to find is that it's not only going to be vitamin D, because then in order to utilize vitamin D, you have to have a nice complement of vitamin K, and vitamin K comes from a lot of very leafy, dark green leafy vegetables. And it really is one, you can't just take something in isolation, but I'm focusing on that today. So let's go back. So we're talking about the depression part, the fact that it affects your serotonin levels. And serotonin is just one thing that we're focused on. It's it was our go-to. It was our first thing we really looked at when we were looking at the different neurochemicals and neuropathways and the brain hormones and things like that with mood and depression. And that's where we came up with our serotonin uptake and reuptake inhibitors, which are new generation of started with Prozac, our new generation of antidepressants, but vitamin D makes a big difference in that. So vitamin D can affect your mood. There we go again. Bright light increases serotonin. That's why you can actually buy sun lights, and not the sun tan lights, but these are actual 10,000 lux and above lights that you can put on your desk, and you have to look at it a certain way for a certain amount of time. It really has to be guided. You have to know what you're doing, and that can increase your brain, stimulating the production of serotonin, because your brain is going, oh, okay, now I got the light here, because it all has to do with how we, it's just a big cascade, melatonin factors in there, all kinds of stuff. So again, so remember that. If you feel the depression, there's always a possibility that there is lower vitamin D. If you're 50 years or older, your skin does not make as much vitamin D as it did when you were younger. Your kidneys become a little less effective. I mean, I don't like to hear all this, but it's true. Now, it doesn't mean that there are some people who are 65 who have better functioning kidneys than somebody that's 22. So a lot has to do with your genetics, your overall general health, if you drink, if you smoke, if you do drugs, if you're on some other kind of drug, what kind of exercise you have, what you eat, all that, how much sodium you take in, that all has to do with your general health. So just because you're over 50 doesn't mean that necessarily your kidneys are going downhill. However, if everything's equal as you age, things don't quite work as quickly as they did before. So, and if you're 20, they didn't work like they did when you were four. So this is just this is just life. So if you're 50 or older, your kidneys become less efficient in converting vitamin D into the form used by your body. Older adults tend to spend more time indoors, so they get even less exposure. So again, the sunlight triggers the mechanism to make the vitamin D, but then your kidneys need to convert it into the kind of vitamin D you can use. If you're overweight or obese or have a very high muscle mass, so if you're a big old bodybuilder, you also have some issues there too. Vitamin D is fat soluble, so it collects in the fat, just like estrogen does. It collects in the fat. So if you're overweight or obese, you're likely going to need more vitamin D than a slimmer person, even though it holds the vitamin D. I mean, yes, it holds the vitamin D in the body fat. However, you're kind of collecting it there. You're like storing it rather than utilizing it. And bodybuilders, same thing. Some of the symptoms, if you have achy bones, if you have kind of a, sometimes it ends up being misdiagnosed as fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue, but one of the signs is you're just kind of achy bones. You're just kind of achy all over because the collagen matrix of your skeleton is just not utilizing the calcium, because the vitamin D deficiency causes a defect in how you use your calcium. So you need that vitamin D and calcium together. And of course, you'll need magnesium and things like that. So the next one isn't one that you don't really think of, and that's head sweating, that your head sweats. Sometimes new moms find that their newborns have a lot of excessive, now a lot of newborns have sweaty heads, so don't get too worried, but they can be excessive, and sometimes they get neuromuscular irritability, and it's because there's an early sign of vitamin D deficiency, or you have gut trouble. That's the number seven that he talks about, celiac, a non-celiac, gluten sensitivity. Now, hey, inflammatory bowel disease. Many of you have IBS or Crohn's disease. A lot of times that has to do with it gives you a inability to absorb your fat the way you're supposed to absorb your fat. And you have an inability to deal with to utilize your vitamin D as well. So we find that when you optimize your vitamin D levels, what can that help? Well, it can help prevent cancer. It can help prevent heart disease. It can help prevent autoimmune diseases and even prevent things like influenza, help you prevent things like influenza, the flus. It can also speed up your DNA repair. repair. So this is really important stuff. So you need to not go overboard, but you need to understand that the RDA, the recommended daily allowance, is actually very low for what we really need in this day and age. So I want you to just kind of take a look at that, think about it, understand that if you're feeling pretty badly for it, and you think you have seasonal affect disorder, or you are feeling a little depressed, take a look at your sun exposure without filters and without your sunscreen, and also take a look at your vitamin D intake. It's very easy to get a good vitamin D, fat-soluble vitamin D3 supplement, and I would recommend that in balance, of course. Really quickly, we don't have time right now. We'll finish it on the other side of the break. I want to go into its link with multiple sclerosis. But after that, we'll just take a couple minutes and then we'll get into the other two areas that I wanted to make sure that we covered, because we want to find out about discretion, which will tie into how you treat your body, what you put into it. And then we're going to also tell you about this awesome, awesome rosary site. This is Dr. Michelle. See you on the other side of the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You're with me on Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. So real quickly, and you can all look this up, just Google it, but there is a link. It's becoming stronger and stronger in the more strongly recognized in the medical profession, with the link between vitamin D in the blood and risk factors for developing multiple sclerosis. They have connected for a very long time that there is an increase. Now, people all over the country can have multiple sclerosis, but there is an increase in numbers of people who develop multiple sclerosis with those who were born and or live in colder, darker climates, the Midwest, the upper northern Midwest, Michigan, Iowa, those places where there is a very low exposure to sunlight. Now, again, not everyone in the family will get it. Maybe one person will show up with this particular problem. Why? We don't really know. However, there's a lot. If you look at the National Multiple Sclerosis Society website, there is evidence. They're doing all kinds of current research, very in Johns Hopkins University and National Cancer Institutes and Ohio State University. Lots of good research going on to take a look at vitamin D and its influences and lack of vitamin D, because early life vitamin D influences someone's susceptibility to immune attack on the central nervous system. So early in life, you know, you may not see this, the problem, till much later in life, until maybe your teens or 20s. But early life exposure to vitamin D, either through diet and or sunlight, is very, very, very important. So there is definitely a link. And they're exploring more and more as to how that link relates. But yes, there is a link to vitamin D, early childhood vitamin D, and exposure and MS, multiple sclerosis. The Mayo Clinic, same thing. Now, that was from the National Multiple Sclerosis Society, and then the Mayo Clinic, same thing, saying that there is a very strong I guess suspicion, and that's an odd word, but they're saying that it's looking very like there's big evidence that there is a link between vitamin D. They're not positive, but again, no one can ever say anything for certain because there's so many factors, but the association is strengthened by the association between sunlight and the risk of MS. The further away from the equator a person lives, the higher the risk. They just know that. They've studied many, many groups of people over the years. So, and the amount of vitamin D that one might need needs to be looked at. You can go ahead and take a nice good supplement at the same time. Having your blood levels drawn, having somebody really take a look. If you have a really big deficiency, you might need a higher dose for a while. So you want to make sure that you don't end up toxic with too much. However, this is a really important thing. And I think you really should take a look at, especially during these winter months. Okay, so now we're going to talk about, let me get to the rosary, this rosary thing first, because it really is, I don't want to go without that. And we can do the church fathers tomorrow if we don't get to them today. The website is called Rugged Rosaries, handmade paracord rosaries since 2012. This is a really lovely, lovely, first, it's a very attractive website, but I want to tell you a little bit about them and how they came about. They're just amazing. So evidently in around 2012, I'm just going to go right to their website. It was October of 2012 and they're still going strong. And here is their story. Their motto is the spiritual strength, durability, and reliability of the Holy Rosary, plus the proven strength and durability and reliability of paracord. That's what makes their rugged rosaries foolproof. So here is their story. They're based in Northern California, halfway between the rugged coastline and the beautiful Sierra Mountains. They aim at providing high quality, long lasting, rugged rosaries for their customers. They handcraft them. They're all handcrafted. So they don't, they're very careful about making sure they don't overload themselves. And each one of them is prayerfully made. They're all made in the United States. They're all inspected to meet their own standards. Let's see. What they tell you is that their cord band started as a hobby and an idea which turned into a business. The owner's teenage son designed the logo, business cards, and brand and started making wristbands. Then she says, I started making rosaries for troops. We now spend time every day along with six other rosary makers cutting cords, sanding beads, sorting split rings, tying knots, ordering materials, and fulfilling customer orders. We are inspired by the wonderful emails and letters we receive from our customers, many telling us how their rugged rosaries has changed their lives. We get so much joy and inspiration from this, and we strive to reflect that in our rosaries. We make sure our rosary makers see all the positive messages from the customers because they love knowing that their work is appreciated and helpful to so many. We are so blessed. Now, let me tell you, that's what they said right there is right on. When I got my rosary from them over a year ago, maybe it was 2 years ago, I decided to write to them and just say, hey, I love this. I've never seen anything like it. I just think it's awesome. It's just beautiful. And they wrote back and they said, and the woman who wrote back said, I read this to all of our rosary makers and we're so happy to hear. It's just as she said, nice little personal email back. So they're great, great people. And for my listeners, you can get a 10% discount by going to Rugged Rosaries. And when they have, if you order anything, you can then put Dr. Michelle, just capital D, capital R, and then the rest capitals, M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E. That's the code. And they'll give you a 10% discount. You can custom make your rosary. They have all different kinds of rosaries. They have several different kinds of crucifixes for the rosaries that are just so different and so beautiful. They also have pocket rosaries and little chaplets, and they're now giving beginning World War I military battle bead rosaries. So you really, really should check it out. You can also get your little saints, choose some saints, and they'll add them on there for you. So this is a really, really great thing. I will give you a link to it, and you can also use that code. And they all have a little booklets as well to, if you don't know how to say the rosary. But as I said, if you want me just to pick one out for you and you want one as a gift from me, just email me dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. Give us your email address, and I will, as my treat this week, I will send you a rosary. And if you need a little booklet or something, I will send that as well. All right. So I want to give you something now just to wrap this up, because it's about you. It's about everything you do, from dieting, exercise, praying, fasting, confession, going without. It's a church elder from long before 500, the year 500. And the church elder said this: reading, watching, and prayer stabilize a wandering mind. Hunger, labor, and isolation quench burning desire. Psalm singing, long suffering, and mercy put anger to rest. If these things are activated at the appropriate times and in due proportion, for that which is disproportionate or not in due season is short-lasting and harmful rather than beneficial. I'm going to take up with that tomorrow as the beginning of a program, because we often dive into things. And I know you all can relate with like diving into a diet or diving into exercise program. Sometimes we dive into our faith. Sometimes we dive into the feel-good moments as well. Reading, watching, and prayer stabilize a wandering mind. Hunger, labor, and isolation quench burning desire. Psalm reading, long-suffering, and mercy put anger to rest. If these things are activated in proportion, not in a disproportionate, or not out of season. So we're going to start talking about that tomorrow. What is in season? When do you do these things? When do you do it and you do it and it brings health rather than destroy health? Because some of the very things you do for good reasons can actually harm you. So we want to go into that, but I hope that you get today the seasonal affective connection, the vitamin D connection with all different kinds of things, including your bone health, including fibromyalgia, even all kinds of things. So I want you to look at that. And I want you to take a look at Rugged Rosaries. We'll put a link on our page because they're doing not only good work, but I think their rosaries, their chaplets, their bracelets, everything are just awesome. They're very attractive to me, and I hope they're attractive to you. And again, email me dmlive@redboxmedia.com. And this week I will treat you to a rosary from Rugged Rosaries. This is Dr. Michelle. Thanks for walking with me. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.